right, everyone, take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12. And what a great time of worship together. I just feel like we ought to, as the scripture to say, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Shout to the Lord with a voice of praise. Because our God is with us, and every battle belongs to Him. And whatever you are facing in your life, personally or in your family, regarding your faith, your future, this is true, that God is our victor. Christ has conquered sin and death and hell and the grave, and we are living now in this incredible victory in Christ. That's what the Romans road is all about, this essential gospel that we've been talking about. It's all about how we can be made right with God and live in the righteousness of Christ, growing in our faith and becoming more and more like Jesus every single day of our lives. That's what the first 11 chapters of Romans is all about. And then we turn a corner in Romans chapter 12, and the first verses of that in particular talk about how we then bring our lives unconditionally to Him, fully to follow Him, devoted and dedicated to Him, committed and consecrated to the Lord our God. And Romans 12 is one of the great chapters in all of the Bible, isn't it? If you know your way around your Bible, you know Romans 12 is an incredible passage of Scripture, and I want to be a Romans 12 kind of Christian. What we read about in this great chapter and really the rest of Romans has to do with now our personal accountability and responsibility to live for Christ in view of and because of what Christ has done for us. How can we help but love and serve Him with all of our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our strength? The last message, I called it All on the Altar, and I asked this question: is your all on the altar? Make it personal. And voluntarily, we are to bring our lives before the Lord, not only at one time, but all the time, not only part of us, but all of us. Remember the hokey pokey. It's not your left, right arm in, your right arm back, your right leg in, and shake it all about, in and out of the Christian life, but we are to be all in. And we talked about being a living sacrifice and how as living sacrifices, this is a lasting sacrifice because our lives are then lived on the altar. We never leave there. I heard about a friend. This truly happened, I'm told. He had two extremely hard to get Super Bowl tickets. This is Super Bowl Sunday. So this guy had tickets, has tickets for the game, 22 Super Bowl premier seats. Right on the 50-yard line, down close, he paid nearly $15,000 each. Can you imagine, for these tickets? Unfortunately, last year when he bought these tickets, he did not realize that he was scheduled to be married on that same day. It was his wedding day. So he put out this email. He said, I'm trying to find someone to take my place. He said, if you're interested. He said, it's at a Corpus Christi church at 3 p.m., and her name is Melissa. She's 5'7", about 140 pounds. She's a good cook, too, and she'll be the one in the white dress. Well, it's an old joke, but it's still a good laugh. But, you know, we never leave the altar. I know Christ will never leave us at the altar. And He's promised always to be our love, the love of our life. On this week that we are celebrating love, on this Valentine's Day, the love of our life is Jesus, the ultimate love. And we love our husbands and our wives more because we love Jesus most. Christ is first, and therefore those who are in our lives, we can love them well and love them better. Peter, who was a man's man, if you would, he was unapologetically, as am I, one to say, whom having not seen, we love. We look forward to the day when we see Christ first face to face and we are united with Him forever. But this is that lasting and living sacrifice. It is a logical sacrifice, we said, in that it is our reasonable service. Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you, brothers, or I appeal to you, therefore, This is, in effect, God praying. Think about it. God is beseeching us. God is appealing to us through the Apostle Paul. We pray to God, and yet here God is appealing to us. He is, in effect, praying to us that because of the mercies of God, that you would present your bodies from head to foot, all of you, the you of you, heart, soul, body, life, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, who is or which is your spiritual worship. And then look at verse 2, which is the content of the message today that we're calling divine direction. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. This is divine direction. And God has promised through and through the Bible that He will lead, that He will lead us. We are not left alone to figure it out by ourselves. God has a plan. God has a purpose. Even before you were born, these children, these babies, before they were born, God had a purpose and has a plan and a purpose for their lives. In the infinite heart and loving mind of God, God has a plan for every life, and that includes your life. And as a believer and follower of Jesus, He has promised to lead you throughout the days of your life. And making those decisions, God's guidance is promised. And to live in the will of God and to do the will of God is the only way to live. Your best life, your only life that is truly successful, is a life given to follow the Lord. You know that your decisions determine your direction, and your direction determines ultimately your destiny in life. And I'm talking, of course, about the big decisions that we make: where we go to school, who we marry, when and if we have children, job, career, calling, all of these things. These are the big ones, right? And we often are called upon to make big decisions. Some of you right now are thinking about what you need to do with the next step of your life. And God has a plan, and He will let you know. God's not hiding His will from you. He wants you to know His will more than you even want to know it. So if you will give your life unconditionally to Christ, put your life on the altar and surrender your will to do the will of God, I promise you He's going to enable you and empower you to take those big steps in life. I look back on our lives, Deb and I, in our marriage, in our family, in our ministry, we have seen the Lord lead us all the way. Not one time has He failed us or taken us. We've gone on some detours. We can at times get off the path, but He always brings us back, because He is what? Working all things together for the good, our steps as well as our missteps. He is working all of this together for good to those who love the Lord and who are called according to His purpose. That is literally fitting into His plan or purpose in our lives. But it all begins with this surrender of this presentation of our lives to Lord. And that's really what I'm saying now. It's the first point that I want you to ponder for just a moment, and it is that we make a personal presentation of our lives to the Lord. And when we do that, then we are on our way into the will of God. The goal for a Christian is to align ourselves with the purposes and plans of God. So the heartbeat of this message is to help us all to do that, to challenge you, and I see many students here this morning. It's wonderful to see you. But to challenge, whether you're young or old, to get in on the will of God. The will of God is not something you have to do, it's something you get to do. And I've often said God will choose for you what you will choose for yourself if you had sense enough to choose it. God's will is good and perfect and acceptable always. God knows what is best for every one of our lives. So I want to challenge you to do the will of God beyond a duty, but as a delight, to joyfully obey God in what He is calling us all to do, to surrender to the Lord, to seek Him. And it's this will of God, this divine direction. I was referencing some of the big things, the big choices that sum up our lives. But it's also those daily decisions. It's those choices that we make every single day of our lives. And the sum total then of our character are the choices that we make in our lives and who we are. And God is more interested in who you are than what you do ultimately with your life. And so as we make those choices, as we decide daily to joyfully obey God and to live to please Him and to walk by faith, then we discover and do the will of God. Here's what I know over the years in walking with the Lord and seeking Him and His will for my life, that most of the time we make these decisions by faith. By faith. Often we don't understand what the big picture may be or what the ultimate outcome could be. When we make decisions, and whether it's a big one or a small one, we don't always know the end result, but we live by faith and trust in God, and this is a faith proposition. So there's an opportunity, or there is a challenge, and you're facing that, and what do you do? What's God's will? God, what do you want me to do? And through His Word and by His Spirit, as we're going to note in just a moment, He begins to lead us, and through circumstances and choices that we make, we get to a place, but ultimately, it's a faith decision. You decide to do what God is leading you to do, and you keep bringing your best and giving your best to Jesus every single day. That's the call, that's the challenge. Is consecration. Verse 1, all on the altar, all about consecration, dedication, and commitment. I like what my friend and Bible teacher, Pastor John MacArthur, says. He says, the key to a productive and satisfying life is not getting more, but giving our all to God. The way I like to put it is, the question is not how much do you have of God, because in reality, if you're a Christian, you have all of Him. We have everything, according to the Scripture, in Christ. So it's not getting more of God, but the question is, does God have all of me? Does God have my life? There was a great evangelist of yesteryear by the name of D.L. Moody, and he was preaching, and some critical pastors, preachers could get very critical of other preachers, and some negative preacher was saying, well, you know, this Moody fellow said, does Moody have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? And someone said, no, Moody doesn't have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on Moody. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. That we would give ourselves totally and completely to the Lord. Does the Lord have all of you? Is your all on the altar? So that's where you start with this divine direction. It is with this full surrender of your life to the Lord. But then with this personal presentation comes a mental transformation. Transformation is the next word I want you to consider, because verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Remember, the Christian faith, Christianity, this is very important, is not behavior modification. It is spiritual transformation. So that you would be transformed. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by a renewed mind, transformed minds, transformed thinking. I like the way J.B. Phillips paraphrases this in the New Testament. It says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. The world wants to make you like itself. Even your friends want you to conform to their way of life. And it's the pattern of the world. And the world here is not the world of people that God loves, but it's the world system. It could be better translated, actually, this age, this present age. And we know the God of this world, Satan, presides over a world system that is anti-God and anti-Christ and opposed to the will and the work of God. So what does the world do? The world wants to con you. The world wants to confuse you. The world wants to conform you. And the world wants to cover you. That's what the word conform here actually means, to cover. It's the idea of a masquerade. Pardon me for saying so, but wearing a mask. That's what it means, to cover. The world wants to cover us up. The light of Christ. The world wants to make us like itself, to masquerade us. And many, you know, it's been one of the problems you're hearing now. We're hearing of the psychological issues that little children are having in school because they've been wearing these masks and covering up and mask mandates. And I'm not here to debate any of that with you today. I do have an opinion, if you can ask me if you desire. But be that as it may, the idea, you know, when you cover up your face, you can't shine. I mean, you don't. I was with some people the other day. I'm standing there looking at them, and they had a mask on, and that was fine. I'm not offended by that. But I had no idea who I was talking to because their face was all covered up. That's why people put a mask on to go rob a bank, I presume. So to be conformed to the world is to be in a masquerade party. It is to put on a face, to cover your face. In contrast to that, don't let the world squeeze you. Don't let the world cover you up, con you, confuse you, or conform you to fit into its own pattern and ways and principles and philosophies and values. The world has a view. The world, this age has a worldview, and it's not God. I'm so grateful that here in our student ministry and Prestonwood Christian Academy at our school, we have a worldview institute where we're helping our children to think biblically and intellectually regarding the big issues of our time. Where are they going to hear it if they don't hear it in Christ and in His church? So we're making sure that we're teaching worldview. We did a series of messages a couple of years ago. 2020, you can go back and see them if you haven't seen them. We called it Don't Blink. Remember that series? Don't Blink. And we talked about the worldview issues, how we look at the world and the culture through the lens of Scripture rather than looking at Scripture through the lens of the world. The world wants to seduce us, to squeeze us. Rather than becoming more and more like Jesus, we become more and more like the world, especially when we crawl off the altar. Remember we talked about that? And we're living off the altar as a sacrifice and we're on our own. That's when the world begins to seduce us and squeeze us and cover our light. So he says, don't do that. Stop. It's an imperative. If you want to straight up Graham paraphrase, he says, stop it. Stop being conformed to this world right now. And instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, great word here, transformed. Transformed. It in the language of the New Testament is the word from which we get our word metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. Now, you know what a metamorphosis is. You've had eighth grade biology, perhaps. And a metamorphosis is when a caterpillar, it's a beautiful, powerful thing in nature, when a caterpillar crawls into a cocoon, wraps itself in a shroud, if you will, and in effect, in this cavernous cocoon, dies, but out of the cocoon, a metamorphosis takes place and life is born and a beautiful butterfly, a monarch butterfly. What happens inside the cocoon is called a metamorphosis. All right, you got it. Very good, class. So it is the fact that inside the caterpillar, there is a butterfly getting out. The butterfly at one point was a caterpillar, but the caterpillar is born again. It is transformed into a beautiful butterfly. It's a metamorphosis that takes place. That's a transformation that takes place from the inside out. What you are on the inside then is displayed, demonstrated on the outside. It happened to Jesus. Did you know that? The same word translated here as metamorphosis or transformation is the word transfiguration. Transfiguration. And Jesus took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, to a high mountain, and there Jesus was metamorphosized. He was transformed. He was transfigured. It's one of the great events in the life of Jesus. Amen. The transfiguration. And Jesus, who was human, if you had seen Jesus in a crowd, you might not have picked him out. There was nothing particularly beautiful or comely about him, the prophet Isaiah said. There was nothing about the physical appearance of Jesus that would have taken you back. Jesus was a man. But on the inside, he is God, he is deity. So what happened on the mount that day when Jesus was transfigurized, when the metamorphosis took place, is that everything that Jesus was on the inside is now displayed on the outside. And those disciples saw him in all of his glory. And Moses and Elijah came and stood with him. But he was shining like the sun. He was glowing. It's God. It's the manifestation and the transformation of Christ, who is both God and man. And for that brief moment on that mountaintop, everything on the inside was displayed on the outside, his glory. No wonder Peter said, "Let's just stay here." But Jesus said, "No, I'm on a mission. Let's go to the valley." And down in the valley, there was a broken boy and his family that desperately needed the power of Christ and those apostles. So sometimes we love staying on the mountain. Students, I see some of you students today. It'd be great we could just live in freedom all day long. You know, experience that. But the glory of God in all of this. But God has a calling, and that is to go and finish the mission of Christ on earth. So, but this is the transformation that takes place. So you say, how does that have to do with divine direction and me knowing the will of God in my life? Here's what matters. You are the life of Christ. Christ lives in you. As a Christian, Jesus lives in you. You are to be identified as a Christ follower, a Christian, because Christ is living in you. But what happens is if we start conforming to the world and get into the world's masquerade party, then it covers Christ. We're masking who we really are. Sometimes we make the mistake with our friends, and this is not just for students or young people, but we do it as adults. You do it perhaps on your career path. You make concessions. You make compromises in your Christian faith, and you cover who you really are. You're not living like Christ. You're not showing Christ. You're not lighting up like Jesus around your friends or your coworkers. Don't be conformed, but be renewed in your mind, transformed in your mind. I want people to see Jesus in me. Don't you?
Amen.
Now, I don't want the stuff of this world to cover my Jesus, the beauty of Jesus in me. So when you follow Jesus and begin to do his word, his lead, then this is liberating. It's liberating. Because then you are now the person God made you to be. And with this personal presentation and this mental transformation, we then begin to know and do the will of God. Our minds are renewed. We now have the mind of Christ, the scripture says. We begin to think as he thinks and live in the power of his spirit. And we have this divine direction. When with the direction, there's a dynamic. We have the ability to do it and the agility to walk with Christ and to obey him. And when we fail, when we fall, when we stumble, we get back up and we keep going because our minds have been changed. We don't think the way we now make choices between right and wrong and what is good and what is best, between truth and lies. We know a path is to be taken or not taken because now our mind is renewed. You know, 90% of the will of God is above the neck. Did you know that? It's the way you think. And when you are presented to the Lord fully and completely and your mind is now transformed and you're not allowing the world to cover up. So you see, the world will cover up God's path and God's will for your life. But now you can see clearly the path. The Lord our God is a sun and a shield, and he gives grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. Now we're walking in the light. We're living in the will of God. And so the will of God in the big decisions, that's one thing, but in the daily decisions of life, it's not so much what is the will of God for my life 10 years from now, 50 years from now, but what are you going to do in the next 15 minutes? That's the will of God. It's the daily choices and character builders in your life that then produce successful living, knowing and doing the will of God. I've always defined success in this way. Success is knowing and doing the will of God. That's it. Knowing and doing the will of God. This past week, Friday evening, our church was stunned by the death of one of our dearest sisters in Christ here at Prestonwood. Her name is Stephanie Williford. She served on our staff here in our student ministry for probably 15 years now. She actually came to faith in Christ at our previous location in Hillcrest and Arapahoe as a little 8-year-old girl. Her father had unexpectedly passed away. And a Prestonwood member invited this little girl, this little grieving girl named Stephanie, Steph, to come to church. You realize what a simple invitation can do to change a person's life? So this little girl who was so sad came to our church and she accepted Jesus as her Savior. It wasn't long till her mother came to faith in Christ as well and professed her faith. And Stephanie and her mom, who also is alive today, were baptized. They were the last two baptisms at Hillcrest and Arapahoe. She continued to grow in her faith, and I began to notice this little girl. Everybody did because she was very special, very wonderful girl, always smiling, always giving, always happy. She went through elementary school, went through middle school and high school, dedicated her life to Christian ministry and to serve the Lord full time. She went to Samford University, a Baptist school in Georgia, to get her undergraduate degree. While a lot of college students and friends go away from their faith in the college years, she got closer to Jesus than ever in those years. She came back to this area, and we brought her on our team up at the North Campus when we were just getting going at our North Campus. And that was 15 years ago. And she began serving in our student ministry, working with girls, teenage girls. And over these years, she ultimately came to Plano campus, worked with our student ministry here, and there are, no exaggeration, thousands of girls and their families who have been influenced by Stephanie Willifrey. She met the love of her life here at Prestonwood, Brian Willifrey. Brian is a pro's pro in terms of videography and making the videos. So often the videos, most often the videos that you see, we have others, but Brian is responsible. He's the lead content director and producer of our videos, and he goes with me. He's traveled with me all over the world. He's been to Israel with me multiple times, and when I've preached in London and other places across America, capturing videos and all that. Brian and I are very, very close. He came to us from Louisiana a number of years ago, and he's just the greatest. Here are these two Valentines. Now, Brian has a broken heart because on Friday night, just like that, without any notice, Stephanie slipped into heaven. Some kind of major event. We don't know. But she went to heaven. And so we've got a grieving church, a staff. We've got students, girls and boys, who are crying. I would ask that you pray for Brian, for Steph's mom, for Brian's mom, their entire extended family. Steph has a sister who also is in ministry. We'll be doing the service, we think, on Friday of this week here at the church. But I tell you her story because she's such a visitor. I've been looking at the Instagrams and the Twitter and the comments. It's a good place. Rick was talking about that earlier. It's a good place for you to express your faith. And just seeing what people were saying about Steph. Things like, never saw her without a smile. She was always positive, always up. Now remember, this is a girl that came out of sorrow and grief, losses, her daddy when she was 8. But Jesus transformed her mind, her thinking. Changed her life and changed the course and the direction. She surrendered to do the will of God and she lived her life fully for the Lord. Now I know. We would say, why now? Why would you take someone? Why would God? I don't know. See the Pegram family here. I don't know why your son left so soon. But life is not about its duration, but about its donation. Not how the length of our lives, but the depths of our lives. How we live and what we give to the Lord. And we don't know when our last breath will be. We were just talking to the students last weekend at Freedom about this very thing. I just preached last week about coming to the altar, the quote by C.T. Studd, who said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Steph, her life lasts and lives in the presence of Jesus. Oh, she's celebrating. Brian's goal as a videographer is to make Jesus famous, and that couple is making Jesus famous, and she's celebrating while we are crying. But the fact is, we are comforted by our God, and we've got a bunch of high school and junior high students and young adults who Stephanie has mentored and coached and spiritually guided that are grieving right now. And this is when we gather together. This is why we need the church. You don't need to be out there on your own when stuff like this happens. You need Jesus and you need the people of Jesus. So I would ask you to pray, but I would also ask you to learn from this. One more time. That your life here and now is to be given fully to Christ. And I'm just wondering if someone was writing comments. I just saw all these comments about her faith and her Christian love and how smart she was and she could organize things. But it was all about Jesus. All about Jesus. And I just got to thinking, if somebody were writing, tweeting, texting about you or me, would Jesus show up in the first sentence? The second sentence? Would our faith be a part of the first paragraph? Just being honest. Would it even be on the page? Would it be the story of your life? The story of Stephanie Williford's life is successful because she progressively lived the will of God. And then when she just always said yes, she was a yes person to Jesus. And so for his own purposes and plan, when Jesus said, "Stephanie, it's time, come with me," she said yes. And she's with the Lord. So no matter how long you live, make these verses your life. I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you give yourself, present your bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord, holy and acceptable to him who is your reasonable service. And stop being conformed, covered, conned by the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove, discern, do the will of God, which is good and perfect and acceptable to him and to us. Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? If you don't know Christ, this is the moment for the miracle to happen in you, whether you're watching online, on a screen somewhere, or in this room. Many of you God brought to this room. You came because someone invited you. A friend cared enough about you. Maybe you're going through a struggle or hurt or pain or difficulty, and someone said, "Come to church. Go to Prestonwood," and you're here, and God is speaking to you, and God is moving in your heart, and you need Jesus in your life. He died for you. He rose again. And if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, that God raised him from the dead, and call upon his name, he will save you. Are you saved? You say, "Well, I don't know. I'll think about that later." You may not have later. You're not promised another day. You're not promised another breath. Is Jesus in your life? If not, then invite him right now. The Holy Spirit is changing you. It's a metamorphosis taking place. It's a miracle taking place. Just say, "Jesus, come into my life. Make me the person that you created me to be. I repent of my sin. I turn from my sin, and I trust you and you only to be my Savior and my Lord." Pray like that. Say, "Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior, my Lord, my Master, and friend. And Lord, may I never be ashamed of you. May I live for you." You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have it all, Lord, but give me Jesus. Come to him. Our ministers are going to be here at the front. We're also online. 747-88 is the number. Text in Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. We'll respond to you. We'll help you find the Lord and trust the Lord right where you are, and you can know Christ. We'll send you a New Testament, a Bible with study notes. And right here, I'm going to ask that you come forward and make that public decision for Christ. It's reasonable, isn't it? And because of what Christ has done for you, that you would now live for him and profess him and present yourself to him as his follower. So come today. There are others, you need a church home. Everybody needs a church home. You need three homes. You need, first and foremost, a heavenly home. You need to know that you're going to heaven. Secondly, you need a family home. And then you need a church home, which is a family of friends forever, brothers and sisters in Christ. So if God is leading you, you've prayed about it, you've asked the Lord to lead you. So what is God's will? That you just step into his will today. If that means coming to be a part of this church, do it. Husbands and wives, families together, single adults, make that decision. If you've not been baptized as a believer in Christ, why don't you come and make an appointment for a baptism soon, that you would make that open obedience to Christ in your life. Lord, thank you now for these times of decision. Lord, we just pray that many will come to the altar today. Come to the altar today and respond by receiving your grace and your love and your wonderful salvation forever and ever. Help us to help so many to do right now what they'll be so glad they've done when they stand before you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.